welcome to the special preview edition of Chesapeake Chat. I'm your host, Lisa, and I'm so excited today to be joined by the lovely Casey, who's been on previous Chesapeake Chats. Hey, Casey.
Hello. I'm so excited to be back with Chesapeake Shores. I know if you've listened in the past, you might be like, girl, you lie. But I'm legitimately excited.
We are super pumped. Yes, for the new season. And also, we have a new host on with us today for the first time on the Hallmarkies pod. Let's give a big welcome to Jess. Hi, Jess.
Hello. I'm super excited to do this.
Yay. We are super excited to have you. Okay. So before we get started on past seasons and our current future hopes and dreams for this upcoming one, I want to ask you, let's start with Jess. How did you come about Chesapeake Shores? Are you a Hallmark watcher already, or did you just stumble upon the show, or what brought you to it?
I think I saw a commercial during When Calls the Heart, and I was like, oh, why not? And I totally watched it, and then the next thing I knew, I had a Twitter account dedicated to the show.
That's awesome. I love it. I have been following your Twitter for a while now, so I do love your tweets during the show. So you also watch When Calls the Heart?
Oh, you're like me.
Yeah.
Don't.
No, I won't talk about When Calls the Heart. It's not a When Calls the Heart show, but yeah. I give up after season three, so I won't get into that.
Jess, you and I, we're gonna hang out later. We'll hang out, talk about Chesapeake Shores, When Calls the Heart, all the shenanigans. We've now become Twitter best friends.
Yeah.
It's. I need all the Twitter best friends I can get.
Do what? Say that again?
I said I need all the best friends I can get.
Well, we're a tight-knit group, these Chessies that we are. Okay, so Casey, I know you've been on the show before because we were on it last year, but how did you come to Chesapeake Shores?
Oh, goodness. I really don't remember at this point. I'm sure I shared how I stumbled upon it last year, but I did not start the series when it was on the air, I don't think. Because I remember I watched at least the first several episodes either on the app or on the website. I binged it and it was really good. And I was like, okay, got to get into this one too. Now that, you know, When Calls the Heart is done. So, yeah, that's kind of my lame story. If you want to know what really happened, just listen to last year's show.
That's true. Yeah. You guys, we've been covering Chesapeake Shores for what, at least one season now. It mm-hmm. hasn't been two, has it? Yeah. I think it's just one. Mm-hmm. So you can go back and listen to that if you're so inclined. So basically, Casey, what you're saying is that this is your filler show in between When Calls the Heart and Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.
Yes. It's my filler show. It's my summer show. It's my, you know, feel good. Hey, you know, just kind of go chilling here kind of show. I do love it. I really do. Despite my issues, but I do love all the characters. I love the cast. I love the gorgeous scenery. I like the family dynamic. There's so many things I do love about it. So Chessies, hardcore Chessies, don't think that I'm diminishing the show because I do think it is a wonderful show.
Right. No, we don't. Yeah, I mean, I saw it. I remember the advertisements for the new series starting. And I remember thinking, okay, I've never started a Hallmark show from day one because I came in after Cedar Cove was already off the air. I missed When Calls the Heart. I watched it on Netflix for the first two or three seasons. And then I was like, yeah, I'm over it. Good Witch, I didn't catch the beginning. Like, you know, I've never caught one at the beginning. So I was like, oh, I'm going to try this. And I just fell in love with the scenery, to be honest with you. I just thought it was gorgeous. And so here we are, four seasons later, speaking of 5 days away from season four starting. I feel like we've been waiting forever.
It's been so long. Last season ended in October.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Gosh, you're right.
Did you not, I mean, okay, to be honest, Jess, did you feel like that was an ending, though? Because we weren't guaranteed a season four. Did you feel like that was, like, an end to the series? It felt final to me.
It felt like if it didn't come back, it would have been an okay ending. But, like, they wrapped things up nicely. But still, if it came back, they could open the doors again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember we talked about this at the final, like, recap, where it just felt like it was the end. And I thought, with that boat going off in the water and just kind of setting sail, I thought that was a metaphor for the whole thing to be over. And that was it. And I was like, so when they announced season four, I was obviously was very excited, but I just thought, oh, I mean, they have a lot of stuff to wrap up.
I appreciate mm-hmm. that shows like have a feeling that they might not come back. So they try and end it. Things semi-wrapped. So you aren't like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they did burn a lot of people when they ended Cedar Cove abruptly. So, yeah, I do appreciate that it could have ended, but it was also not like a final, you know?
Right. Okay, so speaking of how this could have ended and how it kind of left some things open. So we're going to move on to a segment that I like to call I Have Questions. And one of those questions is, what happened to Nell's sickness / secret gentleman friend / going to Ireland and all of her mysterious stuff? Like, are we going to ever find out anything more about that?
Jess, I want to hear your thoughts about this.
I ask that question every day. Every day. I'm like, what happened to Dylan O'Malley?
Exactly.
Is he okay? Is Nell okay?
I'm like, did somebody in Chesapeake Shores accidentally kill him? And they're all covering it up. And then at the end, we're going to find out this has been one big murder mystery.
I would watch and that.
Oh, that would be such a plot twist. I would cancel all the planes to watch that, actually. My theory is he's a leprechaun.
I could take that, too. Honestly, I would watch that, too.
I think he's a magical leprechaun. She was sick, so she went over there. He healed her because that's what leprechauns do.
Right.
She came back. She's all well. She did get her hair changed. So, you know, maybe that's symbolic of the leprechaun healing, hair changing.
That was her sacrifice.
Exactly.
Her hair was her sacrifice.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay. So I'm just going with the leprechaun theory.
I can get down with this.
This is the new facts. That's happened.
We've just established it. We don't need to go back to it now. We just know now. Yeah, because there was a time when season one or two is early on when Nell would sit down and have these far off thoughts and she'd rub this ring or something as necklace and she would think about Dylan. And I'm like, this was her secret boyfriend. So maybe it was her secret leprechaun boyfriend.
Well, in the books, she does marry him.
What?
Yes.
Okay. See, so maybe what you're saying is I need to read the books.
Yeah. I've read all of them except the last one.
This is brand new information.
Okay. This is the second time I've been told I need to read the books.
I read the first, like...
Maybe we should start a book club.
Yes, please. That's my dream. Is to be in a book club.
That would be awesome. Okay. We'll start Chesapeake Chats book club.
Yeah. There's only, what, 6 episodes in this season, so we'll read the book. Yeah. We have time.
Okay. But in the books, though, Jess, is it true that Trace isn't a musician? He's like an accountant or like a computer science guy or something, right?
He's an architect.
He's an architect.
Yes. And he has a sister.
Oh, he has a sister. Interesting. So she doesn't have to worry about him going on architect tours and being away from the family, is what you're saying. Yeah. Now I need to read the books for sure. Okay. So more questions that I have with Jess. Do you remember in season one where she had this very traumatic past that she couldn't talk to anybody about, but Kevin, after he came back with his traumatic injuries from the war, and then we never really heard about her traumatic past ever again?
The boat?
Yes, the boat.
I truly don't understand it. Is that a thing? Like, do they have high schools on boats?
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was some kind of high school program. She did some thing like that on a ship boat thing and then drowning or something. Obviously she didn't drown because she's alive, but like that has got me so confused, because I was so sure they were going to, you know, address it in at least season two. And then nope, not season two, not season three. It's like it never happened.
No,
that didn't happen in the book, did it?
Did it? I feel like I need to go reread it. I don't think that happened in the book.
Huh.
It was just like, it was only mentioned a couple of times and then never again. And I thought, okay, this is going to be a really cool storyline, because maybe this is going to tie into how Jess and her relationship with Megan, and how it maybe that didn't help the whole strained relationship. But then they never came back to it. And I was like, okay, well, I guess.
Can I make a quick prediction, maybe?
Oh, yes.
So I kind of wonder if they're going to address that in this season, because I know there have been Chessies that have been asking producer, writers, you know, crew people, like, what happened to Jess in this weird water instance thing that happened in season one, and now we don't even know, like, you just dropped it. Because I wonder if they're going to address it, just because there's a preview of Jess and David doing the Jack, I'm flying
right.
Like, maybe she, I mean, like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? It makes sense. Like, maybe she's traumatized of water, and maybe she's traumatized of boats. Like, has she been on a boat yet in this show? I don't really remember. So maybe she's traumatized, and David's like, you know what? As your boo, I'm going to make you not traumatized. So we're going to recreate this very romantic, very G-rated version of Titanic, and you're going to do the whole thing, and you're going to feel free like a bird, and you are going to be cured from your fear of water.
At the end of last season, weren't they all on the boat? Didn't they all go sailing? Or was it only a few of them?
No. She was with David's parents. Getting a new in.
Oh, right.
God, I wanted his parents to be so much more evil than they were. And then they weren't. And then they, like, bought her a business. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the things that I'm still confused about. Does anybody else have any lingering questions from the last few seasons?
What is written in that dang book?
Which version? Because she carried around like seven versions.
This is true.
I want version four.
Version four, sure.
Yeah, it's in version four.
I really wish they could just like do one episode of just the book, but a reenactment of the book. So get like, you know, little Ava Grace Cooper from When Calls the Heart. She can be Jess. And have like Carter Ryan Evancic, I think his last name is, he can be Connor. I mean, we can have all the When Calls the Heart kids, we can recast them as little O'Brien kids, and then they can react their, you know, trauma of their mom leaving, and then we would know exactly what would happen. It would be amazing.
I really want to do this,
right?
So,
and we all know that When Calls the Heart kids are amazing at their jobs. They could totally pull it up. I mean, can't you see Ava Grace just like bawling her eyes out at the door while, you know, Barbara Niven's leaving? Oh,
I would cry the whole time.
I don't know if I could handle that, because she would really make me cry.
I probably would too.
Okay, what about you, Jess? Do you have any random questions that have lingered off these last few seasons?
I can't think of any, but I'm sure they'll all come to me later.
I mean, for the most part, they do wrap up things pretty nicely after a couple. You know, there's not really, other than I would say the land trust for a few episodes and, of course, Trace and Abby. Most things get, you know, wrapped up within an episode or two. So that's been pretty nice.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Okay, so last season, I kind of divided up last season because there was, what, 7 or 8 episodes? I forget. But I kind of divided it up into 3 parts. One is family ties. We had a lot of family, like inner family drama. There was Connor versus Kevin when Kevin alerts Connor to Danielle possibly cheating. So they had their little skirmishes. There was Connor versus Mick in the land trust. And I wrote other lawyerly things because they just kept fighting over random businessy things. I put Brie versus everyone because of the manuscript. Basically, she was fighting with everyone at some point. And then the big season ending was Megan's explanation for the past, which, okay, here's where I want to have a disclaimer. I love this show. I care about this show. I wouldn't be doing this podcast if I didn't care about this show. But I also want what's really good for this show, which is why I have the thoughts and opinions that I do. I was really disappointed by the entire explanation last year about Megan's past. Casey, what about you?
Yeah, I really wish they could have delved way deeper into the character, into Megan's character. And I don't know. It just wasn't good enough for me. It was kind of like, well, what's done is done. And well, here we are and I'm back. So it's fine. And I was kind of like, I feel like we could have gotten so much deeper into the heart of, you know, who she really is. Cause obviously she's not a bad person. And, you know, there were issues that obviously she and Mick had, but to, you know, leave your entire family, like, and your children who are not even out of school yet. I mean, like, there's more to that than just, ooh, I'm just having marital troubles with my husband and I can't stand him, so I'm going to leave. You know, I just wish they would have gotten way deeper than they did.
100% agree. They could have, should have gone way deeper.
Yeah. I feel like they touched on it and they kind of danced around it and they, you know, kind of insinuated things, but I've had to leave situations that were difficult where I couldn't tell certain parties the entire story and where I couldn't be truthful to some parts because I guess I wanted to leave everybody behind with a good feeling. And if that meant that I looked bad, then so be it, because I just wanted everybody that I was leaving behind to still have a good experience, I guess. I mean, without really going into a lot of detail. So I can understand if this was the basis of it, if it comes down to Megan saying, I hate this, the last thing I want to do is leave my children. Mm-hmm. But if this is what's better for them, then this is a sacrifice I have to make, even though it tears me up. I wanted to hear that. I wanted to know more about that. As a mom, I'm like, yeah, it would be the most painful thing ever. But if somebody told me, look, your kid will be more successful if, you know, whatever, if you did X, but you couldn't be there all the time, it would kill me. But I'd have to figure out if that's what's best for them. And I just can't even imagine.
Right. And then it also makes it sound like the kids make it sound like she didn't contact them for like 10 years.
Right.
And all of a sudden she's walking back in her life, but obviously they've had contact.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to know a little bit more of, you know, how long was she away from them? Was she like, did she move? And then a month later she's like, okay, come visit me. Or, you know, like what was their dynamic there? Because if she really did leave for 10 years and without a peep, and then all of a sudden she's like back in her lives, then I get it. But if it wasn't, like, then what really stirred up all the O'Brien kids to be so distant from their mom, with the exception of Abby and Kevin?
Right. And even Connor at some point, because wasn't he in the city? But I guess they never saw each other.
Yeah, they never saw each other. And then when he started classes, then he was kind of ish making an effort, but then he'd yell at her and then she'd cry and then she'd leave.
Did Mick keep them away from her?
I feel like Mick was gone a lot.
Oh, yeah, he was gone a lot.
Oh, that's why they got Nell to raise all the kids.
Yeah.
But see, but Nell seems so nice. I can't imagine that she would keep Megan away from them. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's so much that we could have dug into. Because when this show first started, I thought it was going to be family drama centered with sides of romance. But then it kind of turned into more of a romance-based show, which is fine. But I missed, I really wanted more from the family side of it, uncovering all the history. But
yeah.
So the next section from last season, love, which of course, now that I'm like, oh, I wish we had more family drama. Oh, let's talk about all the relationships. Let's talk about all the love. So we have several couples. I want to know real quick, Jess, out of all the couples, if you had to pick one to champion, who's your couple?
Jess and David, probably. But sometimes Kevin and Sarah, I can't decide.
Yeah, those are kind of my two favorites too. Although I think I've seen you talk about this on Twitter before, and if I'm mistaken, then I apologize. But why did the show all of a sudden give up on Bree and David?
Bree and David could have been the greatest ship on the show.
I was terribly disappointed when Jess swooped in there. So sad. I was like, seriously, are you kidding me? I don't know, because like Bree and David just hit it off like immediately.
They did immediately.
And they were on the same page and they had like the same mindset and everything. It seemed like they were like very parallel to each other, whereas Jess and David are complete opposites, especially at that time with Jess. I mean, I'm digging Jess and David now, but I'm not gonna lie. I was very crushed for Brie.
Yeah.
Very crushed.
I thought it was going to be a temporary thing. I thought it was going to make a fight between the sisters that they were going to fight over David. And now, of course, I love Jess and David, but I mean, they set it up perfectly. And then it just kind of fell away. I want to know why.
Me too.
Writers, if you're listening, please DM me and tell me why. And then I won't tell anybody except for you guys.
It'll be our little secret.
It'll totally be our secret. Okay, so I'm with you, Jess. I basically champion. I go back and forth between Kevin and Sarah and Jess and David. Casey, what about you? Who's your go-to couple in this show?
My go-to couple is Abby and Douglas, because Team Dobby.
You said it! Yes!
Hashtag sorry, not sorry. yes, that is my unicorn couple. I just, at first, I liked the whole Trace and Abby thing. Then I got very bored with it very quickly. I'm very sorry. I'm offending a ton of people right now, but just, you know, my opinion is not necessarily the opinion of those affiliated with the Hallmarkies podcast, because there are several of us. So to make peace, I just want to say that Abby and Douglas just seem to be on, again, it's one of those things, the same, you know, time of life, the same mindset. They had great chemistry, you know, as parents, as colleagues, and I could totally see them hitting it off.
Agreed.
And I was really, I had to stop myself from thinking this because it is Hallmark, but I really thought that she was just gonna, you know, go with, you know, drop Trace and be like, hey, Douglas, what's up? But it's Hallmark, so they didn't go there. But I also thought that Trace was also going to be like, hey, Lee, what's up? And that may or may not have ish happened ish. We're not really sure at the end of last season, so stay tuned. But according to the previews, Trace is not over Abby, although they have broken up.
Yeah, I believe it when I see it. But I'm with you. I think it would have been fun if they had gone at least like maybe just one date, or just maybe had some sort of I don't know, a little bit more flirtatious banter. I mean, I guess they couldn't really just break up Trace and Abby right at the beginning, but
they could have.
I'm like you. I liked it in the beginning. They should have. Agreed. Yeah. Well, I liked it in season one. I liked it because I thought it was going to be a long, drawn out will they or won't they. I thought it was going to be maybe them working together and slowly realizing that they still had feelings. I didn't think it was going to be within like two episodes that they would go like Hallmark's version of skinny dipping and like kiss in the water. And I'm like, what? Y'all just? So you what? I think back, if I ran into my high school boyfriend right now, I'd be like, oh, hey, hi. I wouldn't get in the water with him in my underwear and kiss him, but.
Oh, no. I'd be like, you were cute 10 years ago. You ain't cute now.
I'd be like, well, we're both married, so of course this is inappropriate. But aside from that, we're both married to other people. But aside from that, no, it's okay. Yeah. Okay, so yes, Kevin and Sarah, we left them off. Where he gets a job at Chesapeake Shores, and she had gone to Philadelphia, which I know this drove Rachel crazy, was only like a 90-minute drive, but they acted like they were moving to different countries, so it was all dramatic. But now she's back. She got her old job back, so looks like they're maybe going to be the next couple-y couple, but we'll get to that. Brie and Simon. Okay, I need to know y'all's feelings on Simon. Jess, are you a fan of Simon or not?
I like Simon. I don't know if I like Simon with Brie, though.
Agreed.
I think they could be friends, but I don't see them being in a relationship.
Right? I feel like it's forced.
It does seem very forced to me.
I like Simon and Caroline.
Oh, yeah.
Because I like Kimberly's sister. I like like, they looked really good together, and I could see why he wrote a book about her, because it's obviously Kimberly's sister. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there you go. But I'm interested to see if she's going to be back. I'm going to go ahead and confess. I've read all the summaries of all the episodes coming up.
So have I.
And I don't know if I should talk about them, because I don't know if anybody, like, there might be people out there that don't want to know ahead of time.
You know what? If they don't want to know, pause this. And then come back later.
Just fast forward a little bit. But we do, yes, one of the episodes actually has her name in it. So I'm assuming that she's back. I mean, one of the episodes is called A Sonnet for Caroline. So either she died and he wrote her a sonnet, or she's back in his life and causing problems. Ooh. But we'll see.
Oh, wait. A season for Carolina?
A Sonnet for Caroline.
Okay. One of them they changed.
Was her name Carolina?
No. Wikipedia is wrong.
But you know, they change all the time.
Yeah, that's true. But then Crown Media is A Sonnet for Caroline. You're right. Okay. It used to be called A Song for Carolina. Maybe they're just trying to throw people off, but it is A Sonnet for Caroline. Interesting.
Very interesting. So I'm like, okay, so she comes back. We just don't know why. Okay, so Brie and Simon, they're kind of together, and then Caroline shows up, so that'll be interesting. And then of course we have Jess and David, which we all know, favorites, with his random parents and that sister, which, okay, there's one other question I have. What happened to the sister? She sounded like she was plotting something, even though she seemed nice. She looked like she was secretly like a double agent or something, and nothing. It just all kind of fell flat. They lost the B&B, but now apparently they have a new place.
I have to go back. I remember I have a question. David used to have a brother. What happened to his brother?
You're right. What did happen to his brother?
I don't know. I wanted Bobby Camp to play his brother.
Oh. Oh my gosh. The level of just what? How amazing is that? That just went through and came out as a... They would make good brothers.
They would totally. Oh my goodness. Okay,
side note, I want them in a Christmas movie where they both get the girl. Like another, like two separate girls, not like they both get one girl. I'm saying like their brother, but they both like actually get somebody in a Christmas movie, because they both look really good in Christmas sweaters.
And he can have a beard. Have you seen Carlo Marx with a beard?
Jess, sorry. Stop with the good ideas. Okay, so then Casey, Connor and Danielle.
I do not care for Connor and Danielle. I really don't. I think that they're good, hey, college, law school, boyfriend, girlfriend thing. But as grown-ups, I like their friendship better than their romance. Like, I want to see them fight. Like, I want to see them duke it out in the court system, maybe go out, date other people, come back together. Like, I kind of like, you know, Connor and his hot-headedness. And I feel like she would be a good character for her to play off of that. So I really hope that they don't fall into a romance, because now that's like every single person has romanced off with the person that they started the show with. So that's kind of, and I don't care for that in shows, because I feel like it leaves the storylines kind of flat.
Right.
And it all, like, that's also not realistic. Like, not a lot of people just marry the one that they've, the first person they date or whatever. So I'd like to see a little more romance in Connor's life, and maybe like Danielle can get super jealous, but they're obviously not a thing. Like, they're just friends. They would be the type of couple to be like, okay, if you're not married by 45 and I'm not married by 45, then we'll marry each other. But not like right now.
Right. I agree. Jess, what do you think? Do you like Danielle and Connor together?
I don't. I try, but it doesn't work. I'm like, I'm going to like them. And then I'm like, I'm over it.
Right. I think he deserves somebody not better, because Danielle's cute.
I like Danielle.
And I like Danielle. Don't get me wrong.
But it's like, there's only apparently like, I don't know, I guess 12 people in Chesapeake Shores, because I'm like, Connor, there's no one else in the whole town that you could find and go out with. I mean, for a while there, didn't we think that he was going to go out with
Lee?
Yes, Lee.
I would have loved for that to happen.
I think because they kind of hinted at it when she first came on the series, where he was like, oh, and I'm like, what happened there? That could have been fun.
That could have been really fun.
And then Connor and Abby could have just complained all the time that their significant others were on tour together.
I don't think Connor would have complained as much, honestly.
No, he wouldn't. He'd be like, you'd be like, cool, send me a band t-shirt. Okay, and here's the last one, which I have very strong feelings about, but I'm not going to say anything until I hear from you guys. So, Casey, I'm going to start with you. What are your thoughts on Mick and Megan trying again?
Ooh, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I thought I definitely saw some sparks there, rekindling of older romances in last season. Again, I wish that they could take the characters into a deeper place so we could explore them and explore what happened from the past and why it makes them who they are now. I wish that we can see, I don't know, depth. And I think if we could see the depth and we can see their flawedness and how they've overcome, like, their past and their issues and their immaturity from years and years ago, I think it'd make them a very beloved couple. But if they're just going to like up and get married tomorrow, then it's like, okay, that's great. But that's like so predictable. You know, a lot of the shows right. I like with couples and characters, it's because there's like so many layers that you're constantly unraveling. And, I'm very hopeful. Very hopeful we can see that this season, maybe. Hopefully, before we get a wedding.
Okay, Jess, I need to know your thoughts. Mick and Megan, are you on board?
I was never a Mick and Megan fan from the beginning. but like the new promos, I don't know. I'm really, really excited to see what's going to happen. Like, they just happy. It makes me happy.
Okay, now I feel bad because y'all are both on board with Mick and Megan, and I'm super not.
That's okay.
which is why I didn't want to say anything at the beginning. But I don't know. I feel like it's kind of like after all of these years, now all of a sudden they're just trying again. I don't know.
I feel that too. Mm-hmm. Like, she can do so much better than Nick.
See, that's what I thought. I thought it would be so fun if she moved back to Chesapeake Shores and met somebody and started going out on dates, and Mick got really jealous. And then that was kind of the romantic tension.
That's what I was hoping for last season.
Right. But no, I think they're just going to roll it all and be like, oh, they're back together.
But don't they get back together in the books?
Okay. Again, I need to read the books. Although I'm worried maybe the books will make me not like the show, or maybe it'll make me like the show better. I don't know.
I like them for different reasons. Like, they're separate to me. It's the same, but it's different. Yeah.
Okay, so I have a book question for you real quick, Jess. So did you read the books after you started the show?
Yes. I think I read the books in between the second and third season.
Oh, okay. See, we also have an idea. This was on another podcast about Aurora Tea Garden, to read those books, because those are a whole series of books. So I've got a lot of reading to do. Okay. And then the last couple, which is its own section because it has to be. And you know where I'm going with this. Talking about some Trabby, some Trace and Abby. And I'm sure that said my feelings all right there in that. But. Casey, are you team move on already or team true love? Oh my God.
I am team true love with Douglas. yeah. I don't really like Abby and Trace. I liked them early on. I'll say that. So I did like them early on. I liked where they were going. I liked their chemistry. And then it was like last season, it just died for me. And I don't know if it was because of all the whining going on between the two of them, or just the back and forth, the on again, off again. And now they're on a break. So now we've got the Ross and Rachel on a break thing, and I can't take it, and I'm just like, oh, just can at least date other people. I don't care if they'll get back together in the end, if they, you know, pick up that chemistry a couple years from now and it's just like magic, like boom. But I'm just like, you know what, you guys obviously aren't on the same page, you guys can't agree with things about life. And I need y'all to date other people, so either you can marry them, or so that you can see what good you had it with the other person.
Right.
Now, that's not to say that I did not think that their dates were adorable, because I did like their dates, even the weird museum candlelit stuff and the twinkle lights. I thought that was really cute and sweet, but I can't anymore with these two. Mm-mm. Let's move on.
Okay, because that date was very nice to look at, but all I kept thinking about was that scene in Coming to America when they throw all the flowers around and then they leave and he's like, who's gonna pick up all these flowers? And I'm like, who's gonna pick up all these candles and all this wax and all of this? Ooh, okay, sure. All right, Jess, what do you, I need to know your thoughts on.
I mean, that pretty much explains exactly how I feel. I'm bored of Trace going on tour and Abby being sad about it. And Trace coming home for 5 minutes. Let's move on. Let's be other people. Like, it didn't work.
But it could work again. I think I might be super into it if they tried and then broke up and then saw other people. Douglas, and then got back together. And this was the season. I think I'd be super excited if they had been apart for...
Yeah.
A season and a half, and then maybe got back together. But I guess, and I know I've said this many times, so if you've listened to last season's podcast, I'm very sorry, but I'm going to say it again. He's a musician. They go on tour.
I want a shirt that says that.
Oh, Lisa.
That is genius.
You've been tasked. And we give Jess credit.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
Hashtag Jessie's hashtag Team Dobby.
Hashtag team move on already. Yeah, I think we all know my feelings on Trace and Abby at this point, but in case it's not clear, I'm team very much move on already. In the end, I thought it was very unreasonable for Abby to expect him to be a full-time dad when they were barely dating. Like, to be a full-time dad to her kids when they were barely dating, and she'd get very upset when he wouldn't spend... It just drove me nuts. You're barely with me and the girls. That's because they're your kids. We don't live together. We're not married. We're not even engaged. I don't even see you, like, 6 months out of the year because I'm on tour, but... Mm-hmm. Sure. But they did take up a lot of the show, so there are multiple lines with, you know, even last season, you know, he went on tour... Abby had an issue with that. Abby also found an old letter to Trace that he never opened. So then she had an issue with that. Abby wondering why Trace didn't spend more time as a full-time stay-at-home dad instead of going on tour.
In the books, he is a stay-at-home dad.
No, seriously?
Yes. This is brand new information.
He can do architect work from home. So
imagine how this
home.
Whole series...
Oh,
right.
That would make sense.
But there was the brief time when she went on tour with him, which I guess her job was super okay with. And she went on tour with him and didn't like that either. And then...
You know what, though? She's like a VP, so she's probably got that vacation banked.
That's true. I shouldn't say that because that's true. She probably can just kind of take off what she needs to take off. The last major storyline that wasn't even really about them as a couple, I guess it kind of pulled them in, was Trace and his bridge club and their money laundering or whatever nonsense that was. Somebody stole money. All I know is that it...
Mismanagement of funds, yeah.
Yeah, all I know is that it brought the Waffle King into our lives, so it was worth it.
I'm also making a Waffle King shirt, so...
Are you really? Is that going to be your season premiere shirt?
It's not my season premiere shirt. It may be, like, a season finale shirt. I already have my season premiere shirt.
I'm so excited. I cannot wait. Yes, because I seriously loved your Honorary O'Brien Sister t-shirt from last year. So the big thing is, will they or won't they? And I guess this leads us up into future hopes, what we think this season will bring. And like I said earlier, I've read all the summaries, and so I don't know how much to give away. There was one big overall summary that did not give a whole lot away. So I was going to read that very quickly. And then we can kind of talk about that. It was kind of like a general overview for the entire season. And it was tweeted out by Best of Chesapeake Shores, who has an awesome account. And basically it says, in season 4, Trace returns from tour, determined to get back to the life he had in Chesapeake Shores with Abby, but finds it not it might not be possible to go back to the way things were. Okay. As he settles back in at the bridge, a talented but stage-shy waitress/songwriter catches his attention. Hello. Abby faces an ethical dilemma involving an important new client. While doing the right thing puts her job on the line, she reevaluates her work-life balance and meets an intriguing new man.
Oh.
Shut the front door.
What?
Nick faces his own professional peril when it's revealed that a once trusted vendor has been cutting corners, and he implicates Mick. As he and Megan explore their connection, hello, while trying to avoid the mistakes of the past, his legal distractions threaten to pull him back into old habits. Changes are in store for all of the O'Briens as Kevin and Sarah make plans for their future. Jess and David consider going back to where it all started. Brie enlists a talented producer to stage a loosely autobiographical play that gives her insights into her relationship with Simon. And Connor considers a new career opportunity and ponders his feelings for Danielle. Not a moment too soon, Nell returns to Chesapeake Shores with some much needed sage advice. Oh my God, she went and saw the leprechaun and got all kinds of new information to give her family. Boom. Done. We've tied it all up together. I mean, that sounds pretty good, y'all. I'm not gonna lie. Mm-hmm.
It does. I'm pulled back in. Even after last season, I'm pulled back in.
I was gonna say you were already in, but now you're even deeper in.
I'm even more in. Yeah,
you're on the deep end.
I'm invested now. Now it's like I have to be home on Sunday.
Yeah. So, okay, like I said, I read all these summaries, so they go into more detail about some of these parts. But I'm going to go ahead and ask, out of that summary, let's start with you, Jess. What are you most interested in this season from that summary?
Kevin and Sarah.
They are super cute.
They are. When they look at each other, it's just heart eyes.
Yes. You're right.
It is.
It's like two heart eye emojis staring at each other. Yeah. I feel like a lot of the promos for this season, I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot of promo, but I feel like in the ones that they've had, it's been super focused on Kevin and Sarah.
It has.
So I'm hoping that means big things for them.
I hope we get a wedding.
I'm going to try not to get my hopes up.
That makes me warm and fuzzy inside.
I'd rather have them get married than a random wedding from Mick's brother, Thomas.
I love Thomas.
Oh, I love Thomas. Yes, get him on the show more because he's very attractive.
Where did his wife come from?
Right.
Oh, that's gosh, another. I forgot about that.
I have questions.
She lives in Arizona.
Yeah, but they didn't live together, which seems like a sort of big thing to not talk about for an entire season and then just be like, oh, yeah, we've been married forever. We just don't live together. Like, what?
Wait, I feel like we addressed this last season because I feel like this was something that Rachel brought up and was like, where did this woman come from? And I think they mentioned it in season two. I really do, when they introduced him. Because I feel like there was a jab made. Or something. I have to go back.
Now I'm gonna go watch it.
I have to go back. But I do remember not being surprised about the
maybe
wife.
I don't remember the part. Man, if we were sponsored by Hallmark Movies Now, this is when I would jump in and say, listeners, if you would like to catch up on previous episodes of Chesapeake Shores, tune into Hallmark Movies Now, where you can catch seasons 1 through 3. Okay. So that's my little fake Hallmark Movies Now commercial. But you really can. You can go back and watch. So if you can try and binge watch between now and Sunday, you'll be all caught up, which I've been trying, but I kind of fell off the wagon. But I have been trying to watch.
I've been watching an episode of Day of season 3.
God, you're so good. Dang it.
Well, yeah, you are good.
I tried.
I should have thought of that.
I was going to.
Me and Best of Chessport. But I cannot speak. Best of Chesapeake Shores TV, like messaging each other and watching the episode every day.
Nice. Oh man, I should have thought of that. I would be way more prepared for this podcast episode. I'm like reaching back in the crevices of my brain.
Jess, you did tweet about it. You were like, if you start today, you can watch one episode a day. And so it started. And I replied and I was like, yes, I'm going to. And I started out so faithfully, so super faithfully. And then it all went. Yeah, then it went all downhill. But I watched the first season and the pilot made me really sad because I was just like, the pilot was so good. And I had so much in my mind that I thought was going to happen. And then it didn't. But okay, very quickly, I did put out the question on Twitter. I said, attention Chessies, what are you looking forward to most this season of Chesapeake Shores? And we got back some responses, so I'd like to read a couple of those. Susan S. Replied with, let's see, Connor and Daniel getting straightened out and becoming a couple. Kevin and Sarah getting married. Yes, please. Jess and David finding a new building for their B&B. Trace and Abby sorting out their friendship. I'm glad she called it a friendship because I'm on board with that. And Mick and Megan sorting out their friendship too. And I think she also replied with an extra. And let's add Bree and Simon to the list. They need to get sorted out as well. They need to talk to each other at the same time and figure out what they want or need from each other, in my opinion. Agreed, Susan. Agreed. They do need to figure out what it is that they want because they've been kind of wishy-washy. So Lauren Yeagle, one of our fantastic patrons, she said, I'd like to see Abby and Trace either get back together or move on. Sister, preach it. The constant back and forth is boring and takes time away from other more interesting characters. Lauren, preach it. Also, less silly rich people drama. I love the rich people drama, though. So, and the last comment that we got was from our favorite Scott, waiting in the pumpkin patch. And he says, I'm looking forward to the Hallmarkies podcast coverage of the episodes on Chesapeake Chats. In the past seasons, land trusts and irrational commuting distances pushed Rachel to the edge. What will it be this year? I can't wait to find out. I'm going to say that it's going to be, for me, that's going to push me to the edge is more Trace and Abby. Will they or won't they? But I'll have to just get over it and see what happens. Apparently they're going to start dating other people. So I'm on board for that.
Same.
I want to see, I mean, I'm of two minds because of course I'm like team move on, but at the same time, maybe it'd be fun to see them get jealous of other people.
Oh, you know, that'd be the best. That's what we're here for. We're here for the drama. We're here for the, you know, not the will they won't they, but you know, date other people, get jealous, haha, laugh at them, be like, see what happens when you go,
when you're not on tour.
Yeah.
Exactly. I want longing looks. You know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Maybe if they're absent from each other, maybe I'll start to like it again. So I want longing looks. I want like frustrated almost conversations where they know that they can't really say what they want to say because they're dating other people and all that tension. Yes, give me that. Then I'll be on board.
I want to see them. I want to see a good fight between these two.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
You're going for the jugular.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jess, where can people find you on social media if they want to follow your amazing Chesapeake Shores thoughts and tweets?
Chessie Jess on Twitter.
Awesome. And Casey, where can people find you?
You can find me at Hallmark My Words on Twitter.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Girl Gone Hallmark. And of course, you can follow the pod on Twitter at Hallmarkies Pod, on Instagram at Hallmarkies Podcast. And if you are so inclined, you can join us over at Patreon.com/Hallmarkies. Whereas for as little as $2 a month, you can have access to exclusive Patreon only content. So I think that does it for this preview of Chesapeake Shores. Let us know in the feedback, in the comments or on Twitter, what you're most looking forward to this season, or if we got anything wrong, or if you are just super team Trabby and you need to let us know. You can send us an email at feedback@hallmarkiespodcast.com, or you can do my absolute most favorite thing ever and leave us a voicemail at 801-855-6407. Your feedback could show up on one of our pods one of these days. So thank you so much, Casey and Jess, for joining me. I super appreciate it. This was a lot of fun, and I'm so excited to live tweet with you guys this Sunday and the rest of the season. And all of you listeners out there, also thank you. We appreciate each and every one of you, and we love all your comments, your interactions, and just basically your support for us on this podcast. So, all right, I guess that's it. We'll see you later. Bye, guys.
Bye.